the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
But our first guest this morning is a woman who is one of the few women heading up a property development company in the state. Emma May comes from a family that's steeped in that sector. Her father, Liam May, was a very well-known developer involved in projects including Dundrum Town Centre and Adamstown. When he died in 2008, Emma moved into the business and started negotiations with NAMA over her father's enormous property debts. She's since built up a new business group alongside her husband, Alan Hegarty, Ardale, a construction company, and also Core, a builders providers chain. Emma, your dad, Liam May, was a very prominent property developer, originally from Longford. Was this a fairly common story that we see of the country guy who came to Dublin, got involved in property and did very well?
Well, a little different. He would have finished school very early back then in those days, 12 or 13, and went and done a craft and became a carpenter. And he actually went over to the UK and worked there for a number of years before he came back to Dublin. But really, his starting was as a carpenter.
And when you were growing up, at that stage, your dad would have already been pretty big in the development world and he would have been very busy with it. Were you engaged or aware? Did you think much about what this business was?
Yeah, well, as a very young child, an 8-year-old, I would have been dragged around a lot of the fields. Fast forward a couple of years later and there'd be houses on it and there'd be show houses and stuff like that as well. So he was a very big family man. So he had us, like, if it's walking through a green field, if it was looking at a new project, if there was a new show house being launched, he always had us there, a part of it. He was very proud of what he did, but silently proud.
As a young kid, were you a bit bored going around looking at all these fields, probably some of them beside a main road or something like that, not exactly flowing meadows?
Absolutely bored out of our trees. Begging our parents not to bring us on another weekend of churning meadows and old houses and stuff like that. Absolutely.
And do you think your dad would have liked and had you guys around for some of these things when you were young? Was that a kind of a conscious thing of him showing you a bit about what he does and maybe someday you might be interested in going into it? Or were you interested as a kid in doing it?
I think it was a little bit of both. My mum and dad both worked extremely hard. And I suppose in the young years, life was very difficult. There wasn't that much money around. And I suppose the risks my father took flowed into our family life in relation to we didn't have many holidays. And things were very, very tight. So they were trying to make a success of certain businesses. And as I well know myself, where I am now, you do have to make decisions and they can be the hard decisions. So in some way, I think he was trying to silently show us what he was achieving as he went along. But as I said, like he was very private and silently proud of the things that he achieved.
So when you were in school then, did you enjoy school? Were you into it?
I found school very hard. I'm dyslexic and actually I decided only about 13 years ago to go and get tested. When my father died and I suppose the circumstances I ended up in, I had to learn very fast at a huge pace and a lot of legal stuff, which I wouldn't have been exposed to before. So I felt that I'd go and get tested to see if I was dyslexic or what learning difficulties I had to be able to use that to see what way that I could get the information as fast as possible. So school was very, very difficult. I was in a school actually I wasn't very happy with. And I remember begging my parents, begging them to take me out. And at one stage, I think I turned around to my mum and said, like, Mum, and like I was joking, but I said, like, if you don't move me from this school, like, I'm going to run away. Luckily enough, my parents moved me into a mixed school and I thrived. I still find doing the leaving and stuff extremely hard. I got through. I got a good enough leaving and then I got a good enough degree as well.
Yeah, you wanted to study business and hotel management, and that was something that appealed to you. And you were able to work in hotels, do all kinds of jobs as part of the work experience of that.
Yeah, yeah. So my uncle Christy May has had a couple of hotels in the Midlands. So it was a little bit in my blood as well. The whole hospitality, the whole service, people, like through school and through, like the moment I was able to work, I worked in a pub as a waitress. Like I had two or three jobs going. I was working for events. I was working in a hotel. I was working in Dunn Stores. If I wanted,
but the family must have been quite wealthy at that time, Emma. You know, and was that not a bit? You didn't have to do that really financially.
Look, it can look like that, but the problem is my dad was still taking risks. There was still kind of a lot going on in his business. So I suppose in one way, very similar to my dad, like my money was my money. So if I wanted to go and buy a car or I wanted that lovely dress or go on those holidays, I still had to go and earn that money.
And along the way, you found that of the college process and the working in hotels and so forth, that you were interested in people, you enjoyed working with people, you were a people person. And that kind of came to the fore afterwards in your career in companies you worked for in IT and in with Salesforce.
Yeah, I suppose with doing hotel management as well, I was definitely that service, that people person. So I wanted to go into leadership. I wanted to go into IT. That was one of my favourite subjects in school. So I said, why not? I'll go and look at the service side of IT, where you're helping people in relation to their issues in computers. So that's where I ended up going.
So you were working with Salesforce in a job that you really liked when you got the terrible news about your dad. What happened? When did you hear?
So I was working with Salesforce about 4 months and I was an EMEA manager. Loved the role. Was there about 4 months. I was coming home from seeing my then boyfriend, who's now my husband, over in Manchester. He was living there. And I was on getting off the Ryanair flight. It was a Monday morning. And just as I was taking out my bags, that back then you turned on your phone and it was my sister to tell me my mum had had really bad heart issues. And all I heard was heart attack and dead. And unfortunately, the phone went dead there. So I actually thought it was my mum that had passed away. But my mum actually had rang me back and said, look, Emma, I was trying to get you. Your father's passed away in the middle of the night. I think he's had a suspected heart attack.
Such a real shock to get. And he was quite a young man.
He had just turned 64. My mum would have been 58 at the time. And I was only 31. So absolute and utter shock. It was like everything around me just stopped. And because then, like, everything changed. Everything changed.
In what sense did everything change so fundamentally?
Well, I suppose personally, your whole family dynamic has immediately changed. You're a family of five and now you're four. I would have talked to my dad nearly every single day. That was quite lonely. The shock, the funeral, all those kind of things happened. And I suppose then from a business point of view, people wanted answers and wanted them now. My mum wouldn't have worked. My mum had a very busy job through the years with my dad, obviously, and three daughters. So she wouldn't have been involved intricately with my father's business, but would have supported him. So obviously then 2008 ended up being a huge year, not just for ourselves, but globally as well. The Lehman Brothers,
yeah.
Yeah, financial crisis hit and I think everything ended up really in chaos then.
Did you then feel that you had to help out your mum with what she was left to try and deal with, the complexity of dealing with all of these businesses and borrowings? I mean, how big was the business at that time? What kind of borrowings did he have at the companies?
My dad's estate was around about a billion. There was a huge portfolio there, not just in Ireland, in the UK, in America too. So there was a lot of complexities. There was a hotel in Spain, hotel in London. There was obviously the construction company. I could see the pressure everything was having on my mum. The humanity actually that Salesforce gave me when I needed time to kind of support my mum to go to certain meetings and stuff like that was just incredible. I ended up pregnant. I was then obviously on maternity leave with my first child. And I started getting hugely involved in the business and supporting my mum.
And the borrowings that would have been there from the group was like 640 million. So it was a very, very complicated situation because those loans would have gone into NAMA, which had its own complexities as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I made a big decision to give my notice in into Salesforce and go and support my mum and run my dad's estate. So that's what I did. So as you say, NAMA was born. Banks wanted questions. It ended up me working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week for 6 years.
So what was it like going in to deal with NAMA?
Very difficult. I laugh because I had three NAMA babies. My last little girl wasn't. I walked in there many times with either a bump, hyperemesis or morning sickness. I had two miscarriages from the stress. I had a rash all over my body. It was an incredibly difficult time. They needed answers now. And I was grieving still for my father. Hormones racing through me. I had Alex, my third boy, and we were dealing with NAMA in relation to a asset over in Spain. And one of the guys at the end of the call said, "So Emma, when are you due your baby?" I said, "Look, I had the baby eight hours ago. He's sitting in my arms here." It was incredibly stressful, incredibly stressful.
People say they have a lot on. That's a lot on.
Oh, it was mental. It was just, you just had to keep going. And there were so many strings, like you were trying to run a company, you were trying to manage the assets, you were trying to deal with lawyers, you were trying to deal with co-owners. You'd NAMA breathing down your back. It was just incredible.
Would meetings have got very tense in a situation like that? Would there have been a bit of tension around stuff?
Oh, huge amounts. Yeah, huge amounts. Every person that was in there had to do a business plan. You got 4 weeks. I was 36 weeks pregnant. And I remember that I was in a room with a group of men and they were giving us the timelines and stuff like that. And I said, "Look," I said, I won't be able to do that. That's my due date." And the gentleman at the other side goes, "Well, that's the date you have." And I actually lifted my bump up onto the table and said, "So I presume this might give me another 2 weeks just so I can have my baby." Jigs and reels, I got 6 weeks to do the business plan. But after I had Toby, 2 days later, I had him underneath the desk trying to get the business plan done. It was just horrendous.
NAMA was dealing with all kinds of cases, huge scale of cases. They were representing the taxpayers' interest. They wanted to get things right. They had a job to do. They're trying to pick up the pieces from a mess that wasn't their making, and they want to try and get the best outcome for the taxpayer.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and that was the goal. Like, look, I understand NAMA had a role to do, but it was incredibly stressful, incredibly stressful.
So you had your own ideas for building your own business and businesses, plural as well. But you were still carrying some of the stress, Emma, from all of that. Did you reach a point where something was going to have to give and you were going to have to change the amount that you were working and the way that you were working?
Yeah, I suppose those long days, those 18-hour days, those 7 days a week, I wasn't sleeping. I was probably drinking too much, to be totally honest with you. My marriage wasn't in a great state. I had a rash all over my body. I put on a lot of weight and it was taking its toll. My best friend had just got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I just got the news that I had precancer cells and I had to have an immediate hysterectomy. So fast forward kind of 8 or 9 months later and I was diagnosed with a medical burnout. So I was then forced to take a couple of weeks, a couple of months off to just kind of recalibrate myself and literally just to take a break. I just ran out of energy and steam. And I needed a stranger to go and tell me that. I think I started grieving for my dad then as well, because I think you hold for so long. You talk about Lee May, Lee May, Lee May. I'm not saying it's like an object, but it's a person that's not there anymore. And he was my father. And through NAMA and through all the business dealings and stuff like that, you hear his name so much. You miss him so much. I think everything just came out. I just pressed pause.
At any stage, did you feel annoyed with him that in a way, the way things had happened, you found yourself picking up all of these pieces?
No. Weirdly, things happen for a reason. It was the best learning grind I ever had. It's put me where I am now. I missed him. There was no anger there. I was angry at myself because I let myself get into a very dark place myself. And if I looked back now, would I do things differently? Not from a business point of view, I wouldn't, but I would have taken much more care of myself.
It all took its toll, even on your marriage as well. It would have strained that. And that was something did you feel you were going to have to fight for and address and fix?
Look, working 18 hours a day, four small children, a huge amount of stress. I wasn't sleeping. I ended up in sleeping tablets, rash all over my body. And my marriage, absolutely, took an absolute battering. But Alan's so supportive in so many ways. And I suppose when I had that medical burnout and I kind of stopped, the one person that's always the most supportive to you is the person that normally gets the huge amount of pain, isn't it?
Today, with the business that you have, yourself and your husband, Alan, are both involved in it. You have investments in a variety of different companies, building providers, other businesses, but you're also developing and building houses with Airedale Property. What are your plans for the company now on the house building side? Are you building many houses? Is it something that you will grow in the future?
Yes, so we have, we're hoping our kind of future is we hope to do 1,000 houses in the Leinster region over the next 3 years. Our building providers are thriving. We have 150 employees there as well.
When it comes to building houses, we have this need for so many more houses. We don't seem to be able to build them at the kind of the speed that we need to, and there's a deficit. And the housing crisis has been a huge problem. From your side of things, what is the problem? Where do you think we're going wrong?
Yeah, I suppose with planning itself, you've got obviously the judicial review there as well. You've risk, you've time lines, you've services is a huge problem as well at the moment. So there's a good few things out there.
So if you're a developer and you want to buy a site and you buy a site and let's say it's zoned, the amount of time it takes to get the planning over the line, and in the meantime, the cost of building it is more expensive. Is that the kind of vicious cycle we're in?
Yeah, and then you're back to the banks as well, and you're trying to get money out of banks, and they're so conservative at the moment as well.
The government has a new planning bill in train. What would help from your side? What would you like to see, Emma, happen that would make this give us the ability to accelerate house building?
Yeah, I suppose from our perspective, it's really timelines and times for us. Like you can buy land and it mightn't have planning, and you could be 2 or 3, 4 years waiting for the planning to come through. So it's such a risky business now. One of the things we are looking at the moment is going over to the UK.
Things happen more quickly there, do they?
It does, yeah. Yeah, it's more, the risk isn't as big as over here. So it's an area that we're looking at the moment.
Well, aside from being very busy with the property development and the builders, providers and all, you've a few strings to your bow. During COVID, you did a course to become a funeral celebrant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why was that?
I love people. I have a lot of empathy. It's one of the biggest points I feel I have as a leader. Something that I've always wanted to do, so why not?
Well, Emma May, CEO of Core Building Providers and Airedale Property, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.